Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the Mishpacha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile finally come down to form one new man. My guest, Nick Grimsman, had incurable schizophrenia. 1,000 pages of diagnosis. And God, step by step, showed him how he could get free of his mental illness, and how anyone could get free of any mental illness, and how anyone could be free of any addiction or any harassing spirits having to do with sickness or having to do with emotional problems or fear or paranoia of any kind. And Nick, it's so simple the way you teach this, but before we even get into that, we found out on yesterday's broadcast, you get born again, you get miraculously set free from 8 years of alcohol addiction, and you're looking for a church. So you get on the internet, and you find a place that he says he's one of the end time prophets, and what do you know? You go out, and it's free room and board. You go there. It turns out to be a cult. And as a matter of fact, the cult leader was arrested, is now in prison for 175 years for abusing little girls and a whole lot of other things. And so you're at the cult before he got arrested. And you begin to notice something is wrong. Before we went on the air, you were telling me about it. Would you explain that again?
When I was at the cult, I started having what I call red flags. Like, I started noticing different things. And one thing that they would preach is that they're sinless, that they never sin or anything. And one night I was sitting in one of the offices, and I heard like a audible voice say, "Get up, I want to show you something." And then immediately this man said, "Help us, help us." So I come out the door, and there's these two older Christians, they call them. They were supposed to be the mature Christians. They were getting almost in a fist fight out front, and they were swearing, and they just had an altercation. And the whole time I was sitting there watching this and trying to break it up, I was thinking, wow, these people say they're sinless, but look what they're doing. They don't even love their brother. And so that was one of the a major red flag that made me think, maybe this isn't the place for me.
But by this point, you had been so brainwashed and so mixed up that you're beginning to hear voices. And what did this voice say to you in 2003?
The voices started to say that they were angels and that they were God. And one night I was on a what they call tracking cruise, where they go out and they hand out these anti-government literature. And these voices started talking to me a lot. And I started having just odd hallucinations where I thought I could be like an angel myself, or that I was Jesus or the devil. And I was so scared because of the teachings that I couldn't reach out for help, or I didn't really know what was going on. And so I decided to, I felt like I needed to run away from the group. And so I ran away to, in the city of Nashville. I was in Nashville. I ran out.
Okay. You ran out. You ended up in the airport. You're acting like an insane person. You're screaming. They arrest you. They put you in a mental hospital. And what was the diagnosis?
They diagnosed me with psychosis or paranoid schizophrenia. And when I was in the mental hospital there, I assumed that I blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And there's many Christians that's like one of the number one tricks the devil uses against Christians, especially young Christians, is that they blasphemed. And so I believed that I blasphemed because of the teachings from the false prophet. And so it gave the evil spirits a right to torment me about that fear.
All right. So why did they release you from the mental hospital?
What happens is that you go into a mental hospital, and then they give you a lot of medications. And a lot of times the medications don't heal you, but they they kind of patchwork stuff up, kind of like a bandage. And so once I started getting some of the, you know, a lot of the medication in me, the voices stopped because my brain was kind of, you know, they kind of numb your brain.
Okay, so did they put you in a halfway house then when the voices stopped?
Well, the voices weren't totally gone, but I wasn't acting out like I was before mm-hmm. when I first got in.
Okay, but what I'm trying to find out is, they just release you, or did they put you into some sort of program?
Yeah, so I was in for observation, and then they let me go back to my family in Phoenix, Arizona.
But instead of that, you go to Hollywood. Why do you go to Hollywood?
Well, once I get back to Phoenix, Arizona, I was staying with my mother, and I had so much anxiety in my stomach. It felt like a ball of fear in my stomach that I would walk back and forth in her house, and all I could say was, "Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus," because I had this torment that said, one of the teachings was, if you don't praise God all day long, then you're going to burn in hell. That's what I took from it. So that's what I was doing all day long. I was saying, "Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus," all day long. And I was like insane. I was walking back and forth in my mother's condo on the in Phoenix. And then the voices told me that if I took the medications, then there's no way that I could ever go to heaven. And so I wouldn't take the medications. And I'd only take them when the case managers would make me take them. And then I decided to run away again back to the cult because they said I could come back.
So you go to a cult. They had various locations, one in Hollywood, California. But you started acting so bizarre. You were suicidal. And they decided that they were going to just get rid of you. And they put you on a bus and bought you a one-way ticket.
That was actually that was the last time I went back. I actually went back twice because I was so afraid. So the first time I went back to the outpost outside of Hollywood, and I started having so many hallucinations there because I still felt like I blasphemed, and I was so afraid, and I couldn't speak, and I felt like I was feeble-minded. They eventually just said, "Get all your stuff together. You're going to go hand out some tracts." And so I said, "Okay." So I grabbed all my tracts or all my my personal possessions, and I got in their van, and they dropped me off at a sandwich restaurant in Hollywood.
What happened there?
I woke up in the morning. I fell asleep at a bus station, and I was having a lot of hallucinations, but I don't want to talk about all the hallucinations. I don't want to glorify
them. That's fine.
And I was at the bus stop, and I woke up in the morning, and immediately the voices came to me and said, if you're really not ashamed of Jesus, prove it to us. Prove it to the world. And I looked up at the sky, and it looked like Jesus was coming through the clouds. I was having an hallucination, and I thought Jesus was coming back for the world. And I thought that I blasphemed, and I wanted to show him that I would still serve him, you know, that I still loved him. And so they said, if you're not ashamed of Jesus, take off all your clothes and show the world. And so I took off all my clothes. I was 23 years old. I took off all my clothes, and I walked down the street naked in Hollywood.
So they naturally institutionalize you at that point. You're still having hallucinations, and you leave that institution, and you end up in another cult place, same cult, but this one's in Arkansas. You're acting so bizarre that they put you on a bus, a one-way ticket to Phoenix. And that's when God stepped in. Tell me about what happened when you went into the Assembly of God Church.
Well, I left the cult, and I came back, and I was really, really ill. And my family completely didn't know what to do. They completely just pretty much gave up. And I would pray just a little bit every night, probably for 1 minute, because the voices wouldn't let me talk. And I'd ask God just to have mercy on me. And I told him that if I did blaspheme, then I'd still serve. Like, I'd still serve just because I loved him. And my mother said, "Why don't you try this church by our house? It seems like a really good church." And so I went to this little Assemblies of God church. And it was a, you know, spirit-filled church. And I went there, and I would go to the prayer meetings and things. And one night, I was down at the altar, and the place where people worship and pray. And I was down there, and these people prayed over me, and this spiritual force left my brain. It was like, it felt like it got sucked out of my brain, and it felt so good, and I was so thankful. And I had the revelation that night that I had these things like latched on my mind, like a like they were wrapped around my mind, intertwined, kind of like a spider web, and then I could be free.
And over a period of 3 months, step by step, God shows you how to be free. And then the voices stopped and you came into, you know, I'm reminded of the scripture, to him who's forgiven much, they love much. And I would have to say that's got to be your life scripture, Nick. Yeah, I mean, I sense you have, even in that craziness, even with those demons, even though the bizarre behavior, you were still, to the best of your ability, taking little baby steps, trying to get free, trying to get close to God. But now that you're free, that's the flip side of this that you teach. As a matter of fact, we have a small book, but it's jam-packed with exactly what Nick did, exactly what Nick was instructed by the Holy Spirit. And not only does it take care of mental disease such as schizophrenia, because as I said on yesterday's show, I've got a copy of the agreement here. It says it's a decertification agreement. He's no longer has mental disease. And so he wrote the book, The How-To. Two teaching CDs. The first teaching CD explains how to get rid of, and that's what he has, stronghold, how to get rid of these strongholds and these addictions and these emotional problems that people are dealing with. And then the second CD is the flip side, how to have tremendous intimacy with the Holy Spirit. We call it Freedom for Intimacy, two CDs, the book, Defeating Mental Illness or Any Other Demonic Stronghold That You Have, and one DVD and where he's going to pray over you step by step for you to be free. The entire special freedom package is available for a gift of $35. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.